Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Thought Cloud podcast. Today is an annual tradition for us. We are going to talk about upcoming International Data Center Day. So I have with me Bob Castellano and Brian Schaefer, both who are involved with the 7x24 Exchange International Organization. So, Bob, can you give the listeners a little intro and background on yourself?
Sure. Amy, thank you, first of all, for inviting me to this podcast. And thanks for the support that Mission Critical Magazine gives to International Data Center Day. So I am Bob Castellano, Chairman and CEO of 7x24 Exchange International and founder and CEO of Business Information Services, a technology services and consulting company.
And Brian, how about you?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Amy. My name is Brian Schaefer, and I kind of wear two hats. My day job, I am principal of Highland Associates, which is an architectural engineering firm that specializes in mission-critical facilities. And my side job is president of the Metro New York chapter of 7x24 Exchange, where I have been the president for the past 20 years. It's been a long term chapter. Been involved in mission critical industry for 25 years. So good perspective, and looking forward to the discussion today.
Yeah, me too. So Bob, we'll start with you. Can you just discuss the origin of International Data Center Day and what 7x24 Exchange International's mission is regarding the campaign?
So, you know, we started, 7x24 Exchange started a STEM initiative in 2015. And that initiative consisted of a woman in mission critical operations, a mentoring program, and a data center 101 program. That evolved from a question that came from our audience at a conference in 2015, which was, how is 7x24 Exchange going to help address the problem, which was a talent level in the pipeline for our industry? And so we started those programs. They went on until 2019. In 2019, we realized that we did not have the reach to get out to everyone, to get the awareness out there. So at a conference in 2019, we live streamed the announcement of International Data Center Day. And International Data Center Day, is designed to create awareness of the data center industry and inspire the next generation of talent. This year, International Data Center Day will be on March 22nd. And what we always express to everyone is International Data Center Day is every day, but we celebrate it on International Data Center Day.
Yeah. For those of you listening right now, we're on video, so I can see Bob while he's talking, but he is wearing a shirt right now that says every day is International Data Center Day. And I really like that. So, Brian, tell me, how did the Metro New York chapter respond when they first heard about International Data Center Day?
Sure. So kind of piggybacking what Bob said, the first early on, it was kind of news to us. We weren't really sure what that meant. Going into probably 2020, we didn't do much other than post on our social media, you know, congratulations. Where we really started picking up was last year. We really saw the traction that Bob and the group have been doing with International Data Center, the press it was getting. So we decided to host an event that day, which we called our scholarship awards dinner. And I'll get into later a little bit more about the evolution of our university challenge, et cetera. But what we did at that event was we invited some of the local schools that we are partnerships with giving scholarships, doing University Challenge, Career Fair, and student chapters with. We presented five schools checks for $5,000 each to kind of jumpstart some of their capstone projects, their University Challenge projects, et cetera. So Bob and I were there. The rest of the board of the New York chapter was there. And the five schools that we were presenting checks to were there. We did that in conjunction with what we do in New York chapter. We have a really good, strong sponsorship base of vendors and contractors and suppliers. And so it was also a dual thank you to our annual sponsors event. So when we presented the checks to the school, we had the sponsorship companies up there with us as well. So it was kind of a dual thing. We promoted that, put it on our social media. It was a great event. Probably 100 plus people were at it. It was a really good event. So we're going to do the same this year in a better way. So
I like that you, I guess for lack of a better word, I'll say admit that at first you didn't really, you know what to do, because I think even though you ended up doing like an event and it was, you know, involving a lot of people, I think when people hear of something like, you know, International Data Center Day, it sounds really big. And it seems like you have to put a huge effort out there to, you know, make a difference or like make whatever you do worth it. But you don't have to. You can do like really small things. And even, you know, when I heard about International Data Center Day, I had just started with a magazine in August. So the first International Data Center Day was launched in October, because it was to help spread awareness of the event, you know, so we did it at the fall conference. But in my mind, you know, I don't work in a data center, so I didn't really feel like I could do anything besides write about it or, you know, do this podcast. But over the years, I myself have started to get involved and I'm doing little things too. So that's one of the reasons we do this podcast. And that sort of leads me into my next question. Bob, even though it's relatively new, but it has evolved. So can you talk about how it has evolved and, you know, things that you've introduced, like the Power of One campaign and just different ways that people around the country and the world have been approaching the celebration of International Data Center Day on that special day and every other day?
So when we started in 2019, many of our member companies began participating right away. They really had a great interest in the mission of International Data Center Day. So they really got into it. We began as an organization to add resources to the program. Then the program started to take off. But of course, that was 2019. Then we got hit with 2020 and the pandemic. But I have to say, our chapters were phenomenal. They just designed virtual activities. And throughout 2020 and even 2021, there were a number of virtual activities that took place. I remember one I was involved in with the Virginia Commonwealth University, which our Central Virginia chapter put on or conducted, which went very well. We had, participants from the school, from the chapter, and even from local government. And then a number of chapters did that. I'll let Brian talk about what they did, but I know that the Metro New York did not suspend their University Challenge. They kind of did a virtual one, but again, he'll speak to that. Then came 2022, and the on-site events started all over again. In particular, you know, at our last conference, we showed a video that the Greater Washington, D.C. chapter produced, which was produced by, there was students involved, professionals in the industry, all speaking about data center careers. So it was really, really terrific the way everybody came back to this. As far as, you know, the Power of One, which is a resource we use where we tell people to, you know, don't need to be big gatherings of people. We like that when you could meet with numbers of people. But if not, don't be afraid to go one on one. That can be very helpful. And that is the Power of One. So that's the way it has evolved to today.
Yeah. And I was there at the conference when you showed that video, and it is a great one. I'm not sure if it's available on your website or not, but I know that it is out there somewhere for, you know, people to watch. It's a good resource for people. But speaking of resources, you guys have a myriad of them available on your website. So can you talk about those resources that you have available to both like individual professionals and organizations that are there for them, not just for International Data Center Day, but just in general, and how people can use them?
Yes, so that video is on the website. And to start off, I would say one of the best resources is the International Data Center Day website, which is internationaldatacenter.org. But if you go on that website, there is a tab that you click that is Resource Center. And on that Resource Center, you could see for elementary level students, there is a what is a data center presentation. There is a what is a data center ebook that Eaton has put out that's on the website. There's projects for elementary school children like draw a data superhero or draw a picture of a cloud. And then if you move on, there's the high school, because we're trying to hit all different levels. For high schools, there's a number of videos, one of which is, you know, how does the internet work? So, and there's a whole bunch of videos for high schools. And when you get to the university level, there are tabs on there to look for. There's scholarships that our chapters are doing. Those chapters do a wonderful job, you know, getting scholarship money for the local students. There is a career tree that's on the website, which has really gotten tremendous feedback because it is a tree where if you click on the tree, it has a number of jobs on it, data center kind of career jobs. If you click on it, you see a video of someone speaking about what the job entails, what that career is about. So to us, that is, you know, a terrific resource. We also have resources that have been contributed by Uptime Institute on the labor market and by Infrastructure Masons. And of course, we spoke about the Power of One, which is, you know, highlighted on the website as something that we don't want people to forget, that you can make an impact even one-on-one.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, if you haven't been to the International Data Center Day website, it is a great website with a lot of information, some of the resources that Bob mentioned, but there's things on there as well that, you know, he didn't mention. They have a lot of content available for everybody so that anybody who wants to participate in the event, either in March or all year long, they really have the opportunity to be able to do that. And so we've alluded to it a few times, but haven't really talked about the university challenge yet. So Brian, can you tell me about it, how it got started, and then also tell me what you have planned for this year?
Sure. Thank you. Well, the University Challenge has really been an evolution. It's kind of the pride and joy of the Metro New York chapter. We are very excited about it every year. It's been a great program we put together. It really goes back again to our initiative and partnership with schools going back even it's 10 years now. We have, as a chapter, we have an annual golf outing, and we call it the scholarship golf outing. And the proceeds from our golf outing have traditionally gone to providing scholarships to local schools, engineering programs. And there's four, we're up to about six or seven that we've kind of worked with in the Metro New York area. That kind of blossomed from giving scholarships to schools to thinking, hey, why don't we really get more of a partnership going with these? So we reached out to, initially it was three or four local schools, Manhattan College, Rutgers University, NJIT, NYIT, Hofstra, Cooper Union, Stevens, all with, you know, local heavy engineering, computer science programs. We developed, it's going back, I think, 8 years now on the University Challenge. And what the University Challenge is, it's a contest where we present to a group from the school. They identify three or four students, preferably from mechanical, electrical, or computer science program, to present a product, a system, a solution to something having to do with data center. It started out 8 years ago to what is a data center really, because back then, this was before even the STEM, the whole initiative of getting things, we just recognized it early that there's a shortage. That traditionally speaking, the 7x24 exchange, don't be offended, Bob, but it was a bunch of us old men involved in this organization. And we recognize not only we're old men, we want to get more women involved. We want to get, more importantly, the youth involved, because somebody's got to take over for us. So this challenge blossomed into a contest where the schools would present these projects to us. We would do it live. The kids would come in, present. The audience would vote, randomly vote, you know, for a winner, and each school, the winner would get $10,000 for the school. Participating schools would get $1,000. We give the students $250 gift cards. So there was incentive for the school, the engineering, the professors to get involved, the students, they get a little something out of it. It really grew from there, where, like I said, it's now we're on year eight. It might even be more than that. We got into, instead of giving a $10,000 prize to a winner, we're giving all the schools $5,000 just to participate. Same giving the money to the students. What's evolved from that is we pushed the partnership with these schools more. We encouraged student chapters of 7x24. So now we've got some young, bright kids developing and starting up student chapters of 7x24 Exchange. The one that's most active is Manhattan College, great engineering school. They really took an interest. The professor took an interest. The students took an interest. And they're on year three now, I think, of the student chapter. It's great. And from that, we just carried that into last year. We did a career fair, which we hosted, and we had sponsorship tables, which were members. It was everyone from a vendor, a supplier of equipment, to engineering firms, to construction firms, had tables. We invited the schools. We had over 100 students come through, visit the tables, and talk to all the companies about job opportunities. We had about 20 exhibiting tables and 100 students. We had a bus from Binghamton University, a bus from Rutgers bring students. That was phenomenal. And that's all kind of what we're doing going forward to promote the youth in the organization and in the industry, recognition. We played that video that Bob referenced What is a data center and kind of all the jobs. The tree is fabulous. We do the same presentation, kind of the, all the different, you know, we kind of look at it, you know, a 20-year-old kid, they're on their phone all day long. But when you say, you know, where TikTok comes from or YouTube or that, you know, all this stuff, and you put up a slide where all these have massive data centers. So once you start to get them to think about that, and then they see what a data center is, either by a tour or a video of one, and then you outline all the different career paths within the industry. It's a great program, and I tell you, it's something we're really proud of, and we've done a great job with. We have great support from our membership and our leadership in the organization. So that's a long and short of it. So.
I think I really like that you guys do that. One thing I noticed, I'm in a program at New York University. I'm currently earning my master's degree in cybersecurity. So because it's the science community, we do a lot of peer review on projects. So one thing I notice is that, you know, it's different with students than it is with industry professionals, because industry professionals are working in a job, right? So they have like specific things that they're supposed to be doing. And even though, you know, they're all still people, so, you know, you still have your own interests, and you might go home and work on things like on your own time, or you might present ideas to your company. But with students, there's no restrictions. When we're given projects, we're allowed to do just like whatever we think is interesting, and we can find a way to, and you can find a way to do a computer science or STEM related project on nearly everything, you know, so like whatever your interest is, then you can do these projects. And, you know, sometimes they're research, sometimes they're building programs. But my favorite part is doing the peer review and just seeing like, wow, I never would have thought of this, you know, like, so I think when you get a bunch of students together and they're working on projects like that, you really see how important it is to have a diverse industry, because where do all these thoughts come from? They come from different people, from different backgrounds, from, you know, different places and different environments. And it's just like, it's just things that you, you would never think of, you know, you think of different things. And so I love seeing a bunch of students come together and get to work on like what they're passionate about and what they're interested in and, you know, what they're excited to go bring to the industry. And I think it spawns new ideas and innovation. So I'm really glad.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Bob and I were talking briefly before you got on, just to see the change from the initial 8 years ago, from the even the professors not even understanding what a data center is, let alone the students, to now how evolved and elaborate and precise these kids are getting into a server solution, a cooling solution, you know, all kinds of things. And the professors say, wow, this is great. You know, they're really into it now, you know, for not the money's good. We feed them money, but it's really the interest in getting involved. And the other interesting kind of note statistically, last year out of the probably 20 students that participated, it was probably half female.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was really a drive, you know, one of the schools, I think it was entirely female. So another awesome driver of the 7x24 obviously is the WIMCO and getting the women involved. So you just see a natural trend for young females getting involved in the industry as well. So it's interesting to watch. A side note, you know, my firm's hired 4 of these kids over the years. Other firms have picked up. These kids walk out of that university challenge if they don't have a job that day, shortly after they're getting jobs. So.
Very cool. And I have a couple questions for both of you, but since I'm talking to you right now, Brian, we'll start with you. What from your colleagues or, you know, other people in the chapter or whoever you talk to in the industry, what types of events have you heard of that are taking place for International Data Center Day so far this year, if any?
Yeah, well, I mentioned what we're doing in New York is doing our scholarship awards dinner again, Sponsor Appreciation Day. The only other one I've heard of, I know the DC chapter, I think, is doing a 5K run that day.
Oh, very cool.
I believe that's true. I don't know about some of the other chapters, but I think with Bob's push and the just the exposure of the day in general, there's a lot of traction. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of people marking that on their calendars and doing something, whether it's the individual firms or it's the chapters. So.
And Bob, how about you? I know like when I decide what I'm doing for International Data Center Day, Bob's the first person that I email. So I'm sure you're hearing about a lot more events. So what do people have up their sleeves this year?
Right. So before I say that, you can see the innovation that the Metro New York chapter has done with respect to International Data Center Day. The University Challenge is just phenomenal. But Brian and Joe Ryan, their chairman and their board of directors, with everything they do relative to the chapters, are one of the premier chapters in the organization and really set the gold standard on how a chapter should be run. So
congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, they're just phenomenal.
It only took me 20 years, but.
Practice makes perfect.
Right.
So here's some of the things I know, right? One is on a national level on March 8th at 7 p.m. There's going to be a webinar that's going to be conducted by Carrie Goetz, who is a recognized industry leader. It is titled Bridging the Data Talent Divide with On-Ramps. And it's designed, it's a presentation that will discuss the many on-ramps into the industry for all skill levels. And that's from Carrie Goetz. She'll be doing that. Carrie also has put out a book, which is on the web. You can see a reference of it on the website that's titled Jumpstart Your Careers in Data Centers. So that's going to be going on from a national level. I will confirm what Brian said, that there is going to be a cloud run in DC, the DC chapter. It's called, its cute name, 5.99999, right? Five nines, K run, around Data Center Alley. So that's
cool.
Happening. Yep. The Silicon Prairie chapter is going to have a K-12 STEM outreach that they're going to be doing. And then Cisco Hennessy, one of our member companies, is going to conduct Data Center 101 classes at Texas A&M University. So those are a number of the things that are being done that I know of for this year. As time goes by, there's going to be a host of events that I don't even know about. I'm giving you the highlights of what I've heard, but there's going to be a whole bunch, including maybe even Amy dyeing her hair green again.
I don't think I'm doing it this year because it might all fall out if I tried to dye it again. But but I am building a career tree at a local school. So I'll be, you know, putting up probably vinyl, I'd assume. I don't know, maybe construction paper or something. I'm going to put a giant tree in the hallway at a local middle school. And, you know, I'll have jobs written on all the leaves and it's probably going to take me a while to do it. So I'll be there and, you know, the kids are going to be walking by in between classes and I'm sure they'll have questions. So I'm going to talk about International Data Center Day while I'm there. And also Eaton donated a bunch of their children's books to me. So I will go to an elementary school and present those. Like, I haven't gotten the details from the school yet, what they want me to do either, like go to a particular class and give a presentation there or, you know, do something at lunchtime, but I have a bunch of books and fun little toys to pass out. So me and my brown hair will be going around and doing that, but I did love the green hair. So, but I'm glad you brought that up because it's just one example of the power of one. You know, like I said, it was hard for me to realize, like, I wanted to be involved. And even though I know it is like, it's promoting awareness, right? So it's good that I write about it and it's good that I do the podcast, but I still wanted to be like actively doing something. And so for those of you who weren't readers or listeners last year, I dyed my hair green. It was beautiful. And every time someone asked me why I dyed my hair green, I told them that, you know, I was going green for International Data Center Day. And I talked about data centers and sustainability. And I had a lot of very interesting conversations from that. So the power of one does work. And it's also fun to just, you know, do something different and new. And so
you're inspiring me. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, everyone can dye their hair green. I would love that. But for people who don't want to dye their hair green, I suppose, do you have any advice like on how they can get involved? We'll go with you first, Brian. You can talk about local chapters and like how, you know, maybe not every local chapter can do a university challenge. I'm sure it takes a lot of planning. Yeah. Takes a lot of fundraising to get the money, but you know, if there are other I know there's local chapters out there. If they want to do something that kind of makes a splash, but is a little bit more low profile, do you have any advice?
I think it all starts with getting an energetic, enthusiastic leadership group within the chapter, whether it's the president, the committees, the board, whatever it is. That comes up with some unique ideas, you know, what some of the ones Bob mentioned, people are thinking outside the box of what can we do to celebrate International Data Center Day. One thing that's always a hit is doing tours of data centers. It's often hard to do logistically or for some security or private reasons, you know, confidentiality, they don't like it, but it's opening up, you know. There's certain entities that enjoy giving tours of the data centers now. It's that's always a hot one. I know when we take the students to a data center, they're like in awe, you know, just to see the magnitude, especially some of the newer locations, which are massive power and cooling facilities and big square footage. So that's one thing. Again, thinking outside the box, the 5.9999 run, I think that's a great, and that chapter has a lot of energy in it down there. And there's other chapters with that energy that certainly can come up with their own thoughts and ideas.
And for the individuals, Bob, what kind of advice do you have for how they can be involved?
Well, look, let me reiterate what Brian said. It's important to get out to the schools or bring the schools into the business area, right? So that they can see, the students can see what the data center careers are all about. We'll go to schools and speak about it. Conducting tours is just what Brian said. There's nothing like it because seeing is believing, right? So That's a big one. The power of one, which you've already experienced, Amy, is something that can be leveraged. It's real good leverage to use as an individual to go out and speak to a group or even individuals, just one-on-one, and it works. But, you know, what I would also, what I'm professing more this year is, those who have some kind of access to local media, right? Newspapers, magazines, radio, TV, to get out there and do something just like this podcast, right? Get the word out about International Data Center Day. So that's something I think that individuals can do if they have the ability.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, with my experience, not just with the green hair, but that amplified it a little bit, but, you know, I work remotely. So sometimes I go into coffee shops or restaurants and I'm working on my computer. People will ask me like, what are you working on? What do you do? So I have a lot of conversations about my job with, you know, random people. And two things surprise me. Number one, how many people don't know anything. Like, you know, if I'm working on my homework in public and someone asks me what I'm doing and I say like, oh, I'm in class for cybersecurity, like a lot of people ask, what is cybersecurity? Which I think is crazy because, you know, I started, even if I wasn't studying it or didn't know a lot about it, like the term has been familiar to me since I can remember, really, you know, like it was something that I had no idea what it was before in the past, like how to do it, but I still understand what cybersecurity was as a concept, or how many people say, you know, like what is a data center? So on the flip side, I'm also surprised by how many people I randomly talk to who are involved in the industry in some way, you know? So like when I say, oh, I work for a magazine and we cover the mission critical industry. So we, you know, we write to people who work in data centers and stuff like that. And then they say, oh, I work at this telecom place, or I work here, or I do this. And so it's surprising to me, like how many people I meet who are a part of the industry, who I really like, I don't know, I guess wouldn't have thought are part of, you know, when I tell them what I do, I'm not expecting them to have something to say back. And then, like I said, just how many people don't know. So there's a lot of us out there in the industry, I can tell you, because I run into them randomly. And if we all were having conversations with one of those random people who knows nothing about the industry, it would make a huge difference, you know? So even if we can't all do that, you know, however many of us can, the power of one does make a difference. And you also never know with children, like, yeah, I guess not just children, it's anybody, right? But there's random people who just like admire you and look up to you, and you often don't know. So you never really know, like what you can have a huge influence on someone, without even realizing that you're doing it. But just, you know, the more information that you share with people who are part of your life or who come in passing, like some things stick with people. And there's, even if it's a stranger, like I'm going to go into these schools, and if what I say sticks with one kid where they remember it all throughout school, like I remember when that girl came in and made that tree, and, you know, like, I think I might want to do one of these jobs. Like that's one person that we got to the industry. So it can't do any harm. Like you're not going to make anybody leave, but, you might make people interested and, inspire people to go the same route that you did, or, you know, to innovate on that, like we were talking about with the university challenge, because people who already aren't part of an industry have this like unique perspective where they're not trapped in the box yet. So they have a unique, innovative way of thinking, and it's really valuable to all of us.
One thing I'll say to kind of pick up and elaborate on that, one of our goals as the New York chapter, and I think many of the chapters in general are doing this, is a mentoring program. And I mentioned earlier, it was notoriously a good old boys network, you know, and I'll emphasize old, you know. So mentoring, bringing, you know, it can be quite intimidating to bring a young person into a group. Even looking at the national conferences, there's 800 plus people there. And if you're new to the industry and don't know people, to walk into that environment can be a bit intimidating and overwhelming. So I know our chapter, we're really focusing on the mentoring in general, whether it's, you know, young professionals group, mentoring group, really to bring some of the diehards have been around to kind of help establish this program. And again, if you get the right energy, people involved, it's a great program to bring additional talent into the industry. And for us also, you know, we're membership based, so it helps drive membership, which also drives involvement and awareness in the industry. So it's a focus of ours for this year too, is the whole mentoring program.
Very cool. And my last question, we'll start with you, Brian. What are you most excited about going into this year's International Data Center Day?
Kind of twofold. It's great to be in the mission critical industry right now. It is still fabulous. It's booming. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of opportunity. We have to capitalize and get that word out and keep it growing, you know. So I think between you know, the 7x24 chapters promoting it, individual firm member firms that are part of 7x24, push the social media, get your announcements out there, acknowledge it, wear the t-shirts, wear a pen, whatever, promote it however you can. It's exciting. I think the buzz out there is always around mission critical or data centers. So nothing better than having an International Data Center Day to get that word out there.
And how about you, Bob? What are you looking forward to most?
Well, so I'm really looking forward to the acceleration of the momentum that International Data Center Day has. And by that, I mean, you know, increasing company participation with International Data Center Day, a greater awareness in educational institutions regarding data center careers. And by that, I mean, not only students, but professors, administrators. You know, I look forward to that really starting to take off. Listening to Brian, you can tell the outreach that's going on to the schools, and that all of a sudden they then get an interest. And then I'm really excited about the restart of Data Center 101 at our conferences. Data Center 101 was suspended during the pandemic, and we are coming back with it this spring. Data Center 101 is a program at the conference where students can come for free, enjoy the entire conference, but the Data Center 101 presentation itself is done by 5 industry experts and talks about the different facets of a data center and the different operations that go on in a data center. So that, in general, that's really what I'm excited about.
Awesome. Well, I think I asked everything that I had planned, but for those listening, I will include a link to internationaldatacenterday.org so you can check out what people have done in the past. There's photo galleries, there's videos, there's stories, there's all the resources that Bob talked about, and you know, there's ideas, there's links to contact them. Bob himself is a great resource. So, you know, I think this, talking to Brian too, he seems equally as excited about the industry. So I'm going to assume that he would probably be willing to talk to people too. But, you know, if you have questions, you need guidance, like they're there to support everybody in the industry. And it is a great initiative. And I'm excited to be a part of it again this year. I'm glad that I got the ball rolling earlier to try to think about, you know, what I could do to be involved. And I appreciate the effort that you guys put into it. So so thank you for joining me today, both of you, Bob and Brian.
Amy, I'd like to take 1 minute and thank some groups.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, our 28 chapters that do an absolutely awesome job with the all about International Data Center Day. Our sponsors, Southwire, Clune Construction, Cummins, Kohler, Neutrality Data Centers, Ascent, and Direct Line. Our industry partners, the Data Center Trade Association, Data Center Dynamics, Infrastructure Masons, and Uptime Institute. And of course, our media partner, Mission Critical Magazine. Again, I can't thank you guys enough for promoting International Data Center Day, supporting International Data Center Day. It is really a noble program, and we greatly appreciate your support. Thank you.
I have, you are definitely welcome. And I have a few favorite topics. You know, I love my job, and I love everything that we cover at the magazine, but I do have a few favorites. And so International Data Center Day is definitely one of them. So I look forward to this podcast every year. I look forward to hearing about what other people do. And it's exciting for me to go to, you know, both of the conferences, because at the fall conference, we're kind of looking forward to the next International Data Center Day. And then at the spring conference, we're recapping on what happened at the most recent one. So I think it does create a really inspiring environment for, you know, people to be in. And it's so, so accessible, right? Like we were talking about how you can just have a conversation with one person or you can plan like a huge event. So there's everything in between there. And I think everybody gets excited no matter what the event is. It's just cool to see that people are involved. So I really do. I appreciate the time from both of you. And for everybody listening, tune in next time to the next episode of the Thought Cloud podcast.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.